Welcome back to another episode of Truvine Talks with Linda and Rachel.
So I had this great topic brought up in therapy and working with couples, and the messaging that a lot of us got in the 90s and 2000s was it's cool to play aloof in relationship.
Oh. Yes, like be the one that cares less because then you're in control. Is that kind of, yeah, okay. Yeah, why is that? Because as relationship attachment-based therapists, we know that that is not like what fosters a healthy, secure attachment.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. There were, several, magazine articles and, cosmetology, like, well, I don't know if I'm gonna mention them, but just, how to play it, play it cool when you're dating and how to like make them, chase you and, all these articles. And then a lot of the movies and a lot of the shows in the in those time periods was like how to play it single.
Yes, there was like a lot of empowerment behind being single, I think, which is, isn't a bad thing. I like that. Like I'm thinking like Sex and the City got really popular, right? And saw these like single adult women in New York City, being super casual, having a good time.
And then they're always, complaining about men, and how they're just not worthy of their time, and then how the behaviors of men when they go on dates and when they find them dating other people. And so, just giving the message to our culture that it's not safe to be in a secure attachment.
Really stressing that vulnerability, right? And how much you're putting yourself at risk if you commit to someone.
That's it. Yes. How being vulnerable is unattractive.
It makes you
Unappealing.
look needy or something. I had never thought about this, but it's so true. The media messages.
The movie I watched clips of like last night, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. Love the movie. Love Kate Hudson.
One of my
Love
favorites.
Matthew McConaughey. It's another one that's like the messaging is don't get too attached.
Keep them at arm's length.
Arm's length, keep yourself, take care of you, be in control. And that what the reason why the couple brought this up and is, well, when you're decide to marry and you're in a relationship and you're living together, if you play, is it coy? COY, is that the right word? What happens?
I'm gonna get really anxious if my partner's doing that and think that like maybe they're not interested, maybe they are seeing or talking to someone else, maybe I've done something to upset them. Maybe trying to figure out what's going on.
How come you're being distant? What are you being secretive for? What's happening? Well, the subconsciously during that time frame of Sex and the City, the show Friends, we were given messages that, well, dating's just part of the scene and it's not really, there's no commitment, there's no security there. We're just gonna, keep ourselves at arm's length in these relationships, romantic relationships.
Yeah. What great self-awareness and insight for this couple to like bring this up and know that this has had an impact on their own behavior and belief in a relationship. Yeah.
And just to know that on a collective unconscious level, like Carl Jung said, the collective unconscious is contagious. And Rachel brought that up in one of our podcasts, social contagion.
Oh, yeah.
But we all caught that because the articles that I would read in the magazines was how to get him to chase you, how to be a bitch. It did. Why men
I
love
love it because
bitches.
that's so true. Like, I can recall that. Yeah.
I love the one, why men love bitches. That's a good one. I read that one. Yeah. But the what about that theme is, if I'm the overarching theme is be a bitch, be distant. What is that telling us? Like, in that sense of what relationship really means.
I think what you said earlier, like it's not safe. You know, like you need to, the only person that's going to have your back is yourself. And therefore, you need to be self-reliant and independent if you want to stay safe. It's like creating a society of withdrawers, right? Avoidant attachment.
So now you said it perfectly. Now we have all the avoidant attachment styles, and they're getting in serious relationships because, they're, let's see, we're in our 30s, 40s, 50s, right? That time frame. I'm not good with time, Rachel.
You're right. I'm not either, but you are right. Yeah.
And then they're moving into a committed relationship, but the subconscious is saying, don't get too close. Don't be too vulnerable. Don't open up. So subconsciously, you're like, I'm not going to let you win. I'm going to keep myself over here, kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the slogan. I think this applies for men too, like nice guys finish last,
Ooh, yes.
or good guys finish last, whichever. Maybe they're interchangeable.
Nice guys finish last. So, what is that message to them?
Yeah, like you don't be nice, you know?
Don't be nice. Be a player. What was that one movie? The Playbook List? What was that?
I don't know. I'm horrible with movie names.
I
And
like
like
movies.
actors and actresses. I like movies too. I just could never remember the names of stuff. Yeah.
Is it the little black book? The little
Oh, that
notebook?
rings a bell. Yeah, that rings a bell.
And just ways of, oh, I'm thinking of another one. The movie Hitch with Will Smith.
Yes.
What's coming up for you right now? You're like,
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm just like, wow, there's so many, right?
I remember all of them almost. And the message that I got from that movie was, you can hook someone in, but you can't fall for them.
Yeah. Feel like there was also this suggestion to kind of like have a backup or a plan B relationship. Does that, yeah, like, ew, why are we that little Mickey?
Yeah, like you got a plan B, a plan C, a plan D. If this doesn't work out, I got this guy over here this country and this or this state.
Right.
Yeah.
When you said hook someone, I thought about that. It was like, yeah, people would kind of like have a someone in their back pocket, right? Guys and girls alike would keep a backup. Yeah.
And what does having a backup plan do for creating secure attachment to someone?
I think it prevents it. Because that's a huge part of keeping you at arm's length. Like, if I need a backup, I don't think this is working out to begin with.
Exactly.
I'm not fully committed.
Yeah. And you can't blame people for that when it's kind of been indoctrinated into the
Right.
culture. But they're thinking, well, I guess if this doesn't work out, I can go over here. So there's no
Right.
secure attachment there.
Yeah.
Wow. Bunch of withdrawers. Being single is cool.
Yeah. Which there is absolutely nothing wrong with being single, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with being in a relationship, you
Yeah.
know? So it is frustrating, I think, when culture or media kind of like glorifies or celebrates, you know, one or the other, because both are totally healthy and normal and okay.
That's right. Both are totally normal and healthy. And when you're single, be single.
Yeah. A level of being able to be independent is a good thing.
How
Like
come?
knowing that you're capable of that. Is a very good thing because I think that's a huge part of secure attachment as well, is knowing if anything were to happen and I would lose this relationship, I will be okay. You
That's
know,
right.
I may be heartbroken for a period of time and I will eventually be okay because I trust myself to be able to make it on my own.
Very well said. Very well said.
Yeah.
And Judge Judy, she said in this interview, she said, when you give up your ability to earn your own money as a woman, she's talking strictly to women. This could be men too. Could be men too. She said, you're deferring all power to that individual over you, not having a means to support yourself for your basic needs. And maybe her messaging is off. I just thought, wow, that's true. If I had to, or if Rachel had to, she can make it on her own. And
Yeah.
versa, like, my husband can make it on his own if we're not together. Okay. Yeah.
It takes a lot of trust.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a relationship.
Yeah. And if you opt for that's great. Just knowing that, could you be an independent, self-reliant individual if necessary? Because not all people can, and that's okay. But you'll be okay, like you said, Rachel, if the relationship would end, grieving happens, of course.
Naturally, yeah.
And that you love yourself enough and you and God have a good bond that you'll be okay. Yeah. Does
Yeah.
that resonate or is that kind of off?
Oh, I think that's accurate. Yeah, that like you know that you'd be okay on your own, you know, and you. And you know, some people don't want a relationship. That's okay. If you do want a relationship, I think part of that is I know I'd be okay on my own. I can take care of myself. And I'm open to learning how someone else's life can fit into my life, like how the two, how both of our lives can fit together.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to compromise, make some compromises You are gonna like keep living your single life in a relationship. Like that, there is a transition. Things do need to become different. Yeah,
You're
unless
laughing.
that's unless that's agreed upon in the in you know in your relationship. If you have like some kind of open relationship.
Yeah, if you're polyamorous, polysecure, whatever, if you guys are open to that, that's completely up to you. Some folks opt for that, and if they're all, everyone's transparent and in agreement, that's totally up to them. But the single life, the single culture is, that's, you're the central character, right? You're in the storyline. So,
There's no responsibility for anybody else, really, but yourself. Unless you have children.
And that makes it really hard, Rachel, when you go into a marriage and you've been looking out for your own needs. And now you got to think about how's what I'm doing helping this person's needs when I've been thinking of only my needs.
How's it helping or hurting?
It's like that whole transition of, from being independent into being co-regulators. Secure dependency is what Dr. Johnson taught us, like how to have a secure dependency.
You're
This is all
learning.
yes.
Yeah,
Sorry.
you're learning how to have conversations with someone, who probably has some different opinions, about you or different beliefs about how relationships work because they've grown up in a different family with different relationship dynamics. And yeah, does that make sense? Like, not everybody views relationships or has the same expectations for a relationship. The same way.
Yeah, exactly. So some people may have grown up with a mom that could stay home and the dad worked, or vice versa, the mom worked and the dad stayed home. So you're bringing a lot of you have to remember when you go into a committed relationship, you're bringing a lot of those expectations that were set for you as being modeled for you as a kid.
So if someone were to realize that they carry these beliefs, right, or misconceptions that, you need to play coy, it's important to keep someone at arm's length, don't give someone the advantage of caring more because that gives them all the power, and then you're in this weaker, vulnerable position. Right, we've realized that we're like, oh crap, what do we do about it? What would be kind of like the next steps in healing from that to become more secure?
Yes, great question. Well, first off, do I know that the person I'm with is really going to show up for me?
Yeah. What would be the litmus test for that? How do you know if someone's going to show up for you?
Yeah, and we did that in our one of our other podcasts about how do you know when you're in a safe, secure relationship? When I ask for a hug, do they give me a hug? When I give them some money to go pay a bill, do they go pay it?
Is there trust? Is there mutual respect? Do I know that I can talk to them about anything?
Yeah, that's
Do they
good.
display emotional maturity?
Right.
That's important.
Yeah.
Emotional maturity looks like, you're coming to someone and very calmly and respectfully sharing when this happened, I felt, hurt, upset, and they respond with compassion and curiosity, not, oh my gosh, here we go again. You can't handle anything. You're so sensitive.
Yeah, gaslit.
Huh.
How will we define gaslit for our listeners? People ask me the definition quite kind of often.
Yeah. If you leave a conversation with someone constantly feeling like you are the crazy one, you're being gaslit. The other person is intentionally trying to manipulate reality. Nothing is ever their fault. It's always yours.
Yeah. They're deflecting off of themselves and their own. They're not taking accountability for their negative dance move or stepping on your toe, because people are going to step on each other's toes when they're learning to dance together. So that would be the litmus test. Like, if you can securely share without fear of the other person blowing up.
In a calm, if you can share in a calm, respectful way, right? We're not like poking and prodding or being passive aggressive, right? Because then you're not really being vulnerable.
Good
If you're
point.
communicating from a passive aggressive or like making little hints, or we want to be very direct, black and white in what we're sharing, where there's no miscommunication happening. We're calm. It's at a convenient time for both people. It's in person, or at the very least, a video call so they can see your facial expression. They can hear your tone of voice. They can read your body language, right? We want to eliminate as many possible miscommunications as we can. It's
That's
not
true.
happening over a text message where they're reading it in a sassy tone. That wasn't intended.
I like that. Good. That's
We've
good.
all done that. Someone's texted us and we read it and we're like, what? Like we assume that they're like using this tone with it.
Yes. Yeah. So it. Yeah, it's like, let's just be transparent. So if you are in a relationship, and when you have tried to be vulnerable and you're met with a gaslight or a deflection time and time again, then you're not in a safe relationship. So you are going to be an avoidant withdrawer, and you are going to play coy, because this person has shown you with behavior they're not really available emotionally for you.
And if you go into a relationship assuming that everyone else thinks the same way that you do, why would you be vulnerable with anyone?
Good point.
If I know I'm keeping you at arm's length, I might assume you're keeping me at one too.
True. That's so true. So we're in this kind of avoidant dance, we're not, nothing's getting said that needs said or shared. And, that whole culture of being single and playing the field, what does it do to us as humans?
It makes us very disconnected. I think there's a loneliness that shows up because no one really sees you for who you are. They see you for who you're presenting yourself to be.
So true. So we just wanted to, dive into this whole, the whole norm that was created in the 90s and early 2000s about what that playing the field, being, how to lose a guy in 10 days, and,
The aloofness of relationships.
And what was the male messaging? You said it a while ago and I forgot.
Yeah, the whole nice guys finish last.
Yeah. And so that took away their ability to be vulnerable with their heart.
I think there was also some messaging towards women in heterosexual relationships to like chase after the man that was like mysterious and avoidant, right? The bad guy. He's in the leather jacket on the motorcycle. Like, right? Right? Why was that? Why was that our heartthrob? Why did we?
Oh, that's a good question. Okay, so Jordan Peterson says females long for an alpha male that can protect, but the distant, aloof bad guy has the
Not protecting my feelings.
he's not protecting your feelings. He's probably got 10 women or more, you know, if he's heterosexual. So really though, the capacity is he could be strong and tough and he could kick some butt, but is he really going to be there for you when it matters? Like when you're crying because you lost someone, is he going to show up? Like, no, he's going to be out on his
Probably
bike.
not. That's what I was just gonna say. No, he's out taking a ride on his bike. Yeah.
From a male's perspective, they grew up that too. You know, I'm thinking of Top Gun, Tom Cruise, and think he's on his motorbike, he's leaving his lover, and he's, you know.
Yeah. Not to stereotype everyone with motorcycles here at I'm sure there's nice people that drive them. I'm
We
just we're
love,
just pointing out
yes.
the movies. Yeah.
Love
Yeah.
motorcycles,
There's
love it.
gray area,
Yes.
always.
And you know, so Jordan Peterson says that we're attracted to a strong, tough guy, because that means he could protect us, but not protect our feelings. Not
Yeah,
always.
that's I yeah, that's well, that's where women have been lied to about what strength is.
Oh.
We have, and that's unfortunate. All of us, not just women, all humans have been lied to about what strength really is. Let that sink in. Yeah.
Beautiful, powerful words, Rachel.
Thank you.
Excellent.
It's so
Yeah.
unfortunate.
Yeah.
Strength is not always have to be this tough, hard exterior, this emotionless, like state of being. Strength can also be soft and gentle and validating and vulnerable.
Yeah, say that again. We've been lied to.
About what strength really is.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
Yeah,
You
I
should
hear
speak.
people.
Speak, speak,
Thanks.
speak. I love it.
I would faint if I had to give a speech.
So Rachel will write the speech and Linda will give it.
Yes, there you go. That's fine. I'll be your ghostwriter. I Yeah. But I don't know how many times I've heard people, my clients in therapy, as they're tears are coming to their eyes and they're sharing a story, and they will segue and say, something about like, I'm so sorry for crying. This is so embarrassing. I wish I could be more like my mom, my grandma, my uncle, whoever. They never cried. They were never weak like this. They were so strong. We really have this image, a lot of us, that strength means never having emotion other than just happiness or contentment. And that's false. It couldn't be more false.
Well said. Yeah. Just marinating that. That's so good, Rachel. It's so good. Yeah. We've been lied to about what strength really is. I like that. That's a great note to leave off on. So, you know, What do you think? Like, we want our listeners to know that you've been deceived. We've all been deceived. Do men really like bitches? No. Do women really like the distant, detached man on the motorcycle who won't talk to her?
Maybe, but you don't feel safe with them. So,
Right. That's right. Because if they're not there to protect you, because they're not emotionally there and they're not physically there, they can't protect you anyway. Even if a bad guy showed up, your guy couldn't defend you because he's off being a player. In the scenario of the single world,
and the media that we're talking about, drawing references from, absolutely.
So change the schema, change the view of what this looks like versus when you're in a committed relationship, being coy, being distant and detached does not create secure bonds.
Part of being an open-minded individual is having the ability to take in new information and figure out how can I now apply this, to expand my worldview.
And do a different dance, as Dr. Johnson taught us. Well, I hope our listeners enjoyed this podcast, and we thank our clients greatly from our hearts for giving us such good food for thought. So,
Always. Yes. Until next time.
bye.
Bye.